Chapter 4. Our Father's Legacy. Zaul pressed his gauntleted hand against the side of the armarium in the hopes of feeling closer to Vulcan. Tekel had forged the repository for the sole purpose of transporting the artifacts to the Rort. Zaul had thought he was alone in the Chalice of Fire's lower depths, until Krask came to join him.
I envy you, Firefather.
Why is that, brother? Zaul asked,
abruptly self-conscious as he let his hand fall away. It lingered, suspended a few inches from the metal before it came back to his side, and he turned to face the Wyvern. This was Krask's warning, self-bestowed in the belief he embodied the fearsome prowess of its namesake. His men carried similar names, wearing them as if they were masks.
I envy your closeness to our father. His...
And he struggled for a moment to think of the word.
Presence that you alone can feel.
It fell just short of suggesting the idea that Vulcan's spirit, his soul, lived on in some fashion. Such notions, even in an enlightened galaxy rapidly collapsing back into superstition, were still unfavorable.
Yes, his presence, Zaul said distantly.
It is a great honor to stand sentinel at the gate to our father's legacy.
Zaul smiled.
You have a poetic disposition, brother.
Krask blinked once, as if he didn't understand the chaplain's meaning. His gaze strayed to the armarium. It was large, the design nondescript, despite what it contained. Five wonders, five miracles of Vulcan's creation. Tekel had secured them within, and only he, Obek, and Zaul could open the repository's gene-coded door without using force.
Beyond his personal war apparel, I have never seen our father's works. I imagine they are something to behold.
This very ship is amongst them, brother, Zaul said, as is the weapon mounted upon its hull.
The air felt stifling and made the chamber seem close despite its size. The metal of the deck beneath and the walls surrounding them were black. Soot and cinder bled unceasingly through the vents, filling the corridors of the vessel with an acerbic odor redolent of the hundreds of forges and foundries below. The Chalice of Fire was no warship. It did not possess the weapons of a battle barge. But it could create them.
It is a forge ship, like no other, said Zaul.
The likes of which will never be seen again,
uttered Krask.
And the wonder in his eyes faded as quickly as it had been born. Zaul felt it too.
No, it will not.
And we shall die with it.
Yes, we shall.
Heavy footfalls echoed down a long corridor of a different ship, announcing the presence of the Salamander's legionary not affiliated with the Unscarred. His name was Saurian, and he wore a suit of draconic warplate Mark IV with a torn hide of lizard scale and tusked shoulder guards. A snarling helmet sat in the crook of his left arm, whilst his right was by his side, one hand on the clawed pommel of his sword. As he breached the threshold of a large room, passing through a wide metal archway, he was struck by the scent of machine oil and lapping powder. It was dark within, and the shadows cast by the low-burning loom globes suggested vastness. They danced across the legionary, sitting in a seat of iron. Not a throne, it was not grand enough to be considered such, but a place to brood and seethe in embittered silence. This was the Iron Father, and though he took no throne, he was king in this place. Lost to grim thoughts, the Iron Father only looked up when the Salamander's legionary had stopped a few strides from his seat. A whirring of gears and servos accompanied the gesture, emanating like a growl of displeasure from the black-armored warrior.
What scraps do you bring me this time, Saurian?
The Salamander's legionary bowed and took a knee.
We have found him, Iron Father.
The Iron Father shifted, lifting his head from where it had been resting against his clenched fist. The dark flashed with a pinprick of blood-red light from his right eye. To Saurian, it looked eager and homicidal. The Iron Father smiled, the scars stitching the flesh half of his face to the metal half, pulling so taut they looked as if they might break and tear his imperious visage apart.
Have Brother Gallicus rouse Azoth and the other revenants.
Saurian was about to reply when he realized the Iron Father wasn't talking to him. A spectre emerged from the shadowy penumbra at the edge of the room, invisible until the moment he had been called upon. The Silent nodded, his avian war helm dipping like the head of a black crow. The Iron Father's voice cut through Saurian's thoughts.
Our quarry won't escape us this time. Horus's lapdog will lead us to our enemy, and then burn for what he has done.
Dismissed, Saurian stood, turned on his heel and walked away. Only when he was sure he was out of earshot and the Iron Father had returned to his machinations, did he speak low into his gorge vox.
Aram, Iron Brother, the Raven is on his way.
Saurian didn't wait for an answer. He just kept walking, trying to remember how they had come to this. He could not. Aram Gallicus closed off the vox and gave a voiceless debt of gratitude to the Salamander's legionary. His breath ghosted in the chill air of the barracks. He and some of the other normal legionaries aboard the Obstinate had taken to calling it the Mausoleum. It seemed perversely fitting.
This is where I leave you, brother,
he said to the hulking figure inside the stasis casket. Most of his body was obscured by the frost against the glass and the internal cryomist, but Gallicus could still see Azoth's face. He had to crane his neck. Each casket was set upon a raised dais that provided power, but he could see it well enough. It looked as cold, dead, and jellied as when Azoth had been interned into the wretched thing.
But you're not dead, are you?
As an Iron Hands legionary, Gallicus knew machines. He knew how to tend and repair them and how to sabotage them, even how to affix a bionic. But he was no iron wrought or tech marine. The Iron Father's ironcraft was beyond him, for the moment. The Raven would be here soon, and his approach would be undetected. Gallicus needed to return to his quarters. For some reason, the Revenants responded to him better than anyone else aboard the ship. Gallicus hoped some old memory prompted it, but in his bones he knew it was just a quirk. As he backed away from Azoth, the half-light from the lumens revealed a host of stasis caskets. No. Coffins, thought Gallicus. Meant for the dead. Our father's legacy.
Only you don't know you're dead, he muttered aloud. Not yet.
He sealed the door behind him and made for his quarters to await the Silent.